Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Listen. Think. Learn. Grow. Live. Live. Live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, good morning, good day. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe for Wednesday, June 25th, 2014. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Glad to be here. I'm ready to be motivated.
Well, good. Yeah, we'll motivate each other here and everyone else listening. So that's the topic of our presentation, our services tonight. So we'll get into that in just a minute. Of course, welcome to all those who are listening to live programs, as well as those listening to the archives. We appreciate you spending your time with us. Metaphysical Universe is a weekly service and educational program of, wait for it, the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. We've just changed our name. We'll talk about that in a minute. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this program, the Society also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, where you can earn your bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics. And we also operate the International College of Humanistic Science, ICHS, where you can take standalone courses and get certifications in various things. The web addresses are metaphysicsinstitute.org and ichsworld.org, respectively. Before we get into our topic, we're going to do our usual profession of beliefs. The spiritual philosophy of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle of do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. We invoke and exert the counselor and guru within. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. Number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more on these principles of belief, please visit us at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And they're right there. The link is right there on the front page. So this is kind of our first show under the new name of the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. That's the only thing that's changed. Principles of belief have not changed. Everything else has not changed, just the name. little bit clearer on what we do. And, of course, members of the society are metaphysical humanists. So it kind of brings some definition and clarity to what we're already doing. Now, tonight, as we get into motivation, I've got slated to talk about motivation and keeping your momentum. After I had posted this, I've got too much to talk about. So what we're going to do is next week we'll do a part two. So tonight we're going to cover motivation. Next week we'll get into maintaining your momentum, because there's just a little bit more than I had thought to cover. So
a part one and a part two.
Yeah. Plus, right. It gives us something to look forward to.
I'm motivated.
So if you've got any comments and like to make comments, you're more than welcome to call in. The number's there on your screen, 714-459-3973. You can also click on the Skype icon and get us that way. Michael is in the back room, producer's room, if you want to call that. He will be taking your calls and allowing you to get to us. So,
you know, I think this is a really important topic. I'm just going to inject here. This is
Please
a really
do.
Important topic for everyone, and I don't care how successful you are, you're feeling like you're not successful, you're feeling a little bit under the weather, whatever stage of life, no matter who you are, whatever walk of life, everyone needs to, you know, like kind of spiff up on their motivation. It takes a lot to get through this world day after day and week after week, year after year. Oh, God, am I bored yet? You know, it's to keep motivated. What is motivation, first of all? You know, what is that incentive, that inspiration? But to stay motivated and to stay on track for your own life, I think it's a really, really important topic.
It is, because without it, we don't do anything, you know. So we're going to go over some points.
Without motivation, we don't do anything.
Well, it's just as simple as that.
It is.
So tonight we're going to go over 8 points on motivation. We're going to talk a little bit about, kind of preface it before we get to those 8 points. But as Dr. Hunter said, that we need to define motivation, that, you know, it can be difficult to define what motivation actually is. One of the things that we teach at IMHS is that if you want to motivate people, you give them a meaningful reason to do something. So if you want to motivate yourself, you find a meaningful reason to do that. I will say, too, that motivation stems from an intense inner belief in oneself and one's dream. You know, that produces meaning for us, and it goes back to providing meaningful reason to do something. When we have this intense belief and we find meaning in it, we almost can't help but be motivated. And, of course, this applies to business people, to personal, you know, just individuals without the context of business. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It applies to everything. So let's talk about how to find and keep your motivation. A lack of motivation is a symptom of an underlying problem, and that is a lack of significant meaning in a certain endeavor or in one's life. In order to get motivated and overcome whatever obstacles we face, we've got to get right to the core of the problem. You know, we're uninspired. When you're not motivated, you're basically uninspired. When you're motivated, you're inspired. And so we have to look for that inspiration, and if not, then we need to move on to something else. In fact, when you really think about this, many times when we're unmotivated, we're simply uninspired. Nothing in life really moves us from within, and we cease to find challenge and meaning in our lives. This is an existential imbalance. And any time we experience adversity of any kind, it's because something is out of its natural order. It's in a state of disorder. That's what adversity is. And if you're unmotivated, if you lack motivation, well, that's kind of like adversity a little bit. It's an imbalance. Something is not in its proper order, and then we have to find out what that is. You know, of course, it's long been said that humans tend to move away from pain and gravitate toward pleasure. It's been written about a lot by a lot of people. Comment, Vicki?
Well, yeah, I was going to say that, you know, as you're talking, Doug, a lot of people, because they're burning out, they can't keep or sustain an energy. a particular energy, like 10 out of 10 every day, they go to medication because they think there's something wrong. You know, and that's what just came to mind as you were talking, that, you know, I deal with this actually a lot with people. You know, if you've been working, I don't care if it's a year or 20 years, and you've been just sustaining an energy, a particular mindset and a particular energy, and you start feeling not so great, that is really something's out of order. Because you can't maintain that particular energy in that way. It's too limiting. So when you talk an existential crisis, I think that that applies in, you know, in such a case.
Good point. So if you're listening to this program and you do feel like you're not motivated, you're lacking motivation, there's some questions you can ask yourself. One important one is, what would have to change in order for me to get motivated? Now think about that question for a minute. What would have to change in order for you to get motivated? If you don't feel motivation now, what would have to change? Well, you might have answers like winning the lottery and other things like that, but in a realistic way, what would have to really change? And it may take some time to answer this question. And obviously some changes might be in order, which will help you in the motivation department. So let's keep that question in mind. What would have to change in order for you to get motivated, for me to get motivated, if you're asking yourself? Keep that in mind as we cover some different areas, eight different areas or eight different points related to motivation. Now, these points are neither right or wrong or good or bad. They could be healthy and they could be unhealthy. It just depends on the perspective. So let's go over. The first one is to live your dream. Now, we've talked about living your dream a lot on this program, and I have found this to be the primary motivator or demotivator in life. Now, it may or may not be for you, but I think it probably is for all of us. Einstein once said, "We act as though comfort and luxury were the chief requirements of life, when all that we need to make us happy is something to be enthusiastic about." And who was it? George Burns said something about having a reason to get out of bed in the morning.
Great, great quote.
Yeah, and he lived a long time, you know, long, long time. So, you know, you live your dream, you live long, long time. Okay, that's not a guarantee, but you get the idea. So the thing is, if you're not doing something or involved with something that truly excites you, you're not likely to be as motivated in life. You know, what about your dream? Are you living your dream? Most people will probably say, no, they're not living your dream. My question to you then is, why not? And now think about it. I'm not just saying you can drop everything and go live a dream. You got to make calculated changes and so forth, choreographed changes. But why aren't you living your dream? Are you moving toward living your dream? Maybe you are. That's good. Keep your eyes on that goal, on that objective ahead, living your dream. So
you know, I think everybody has a dream, but it's just in their heads.
It's not in reality.
They're not living it, but right. They're living it in their heads.
Well, and that's the first place that it starts, but you've got to continue on with that. You've got to move it out into your life. I mean, if you want your outside world to change, you've got to change your inside world first. That means you might have an idea of your dream and what it would be like, but you're not really looking at it in the proper context with fruition or reality as the end result or something that's coming up. You know, you got to listen to yourself. So many people are unhappy because they're not living their dream. They're not listening to their inner self. And the advice here is listen to your inner self, your higher self, obey your calling, live your dream. Take whatever steps each day it takes to get to that place, to get to that dream. Because if you're not living your dream, you're not going to be as motivated. Any other comments that you'd like to make before I move on?
Well, I do, but it all kind of flows in with the 8 points.
All right.
So, it inspires me to all kinds of discussion, but, you know, I know that they are covered in the eight
okay.
points. You know, for anybody who is listening, they might be interested to know that these particular 8 points are in Course M4, of the IMHS degree program, The Art of Motivation and Momentum. And it's
that's in the segment.
In the segment, too. And this is part of the course study, you know, as you go through the degree program. So people might be interested to know that, Doug.
Good point. The course is actually the Metaphysical Arts of Success. It's MHS M4. And that the segment that we're dealing with is segment two, which is entitled The Art of Motivation and Momentum.
That's what I meant.
I know. I'm just clarifying.
Thank you.
No problemo. Okay, so the first of the 8 points is to live your dream. If you're not doing that, you're not going to be happy. You're not going to feel fulfilled, and you're not going to be motivated. The second point is to feel good. You know, you got to feel good most of the time. And if you're not, you got to find out why. You know, if you're just not feeling very well, it's going to be tough to get motivated. So if there, you know, it could be anything. It just depends. I mean, there could be a physiological reason why you don't feel good. That's often the case. However, it doesn't always have to be physiological. It can honestly be psychosomatic. In other words, if you're not motivated and you feel uninspired, that can lead to manifestations. It's stressful, and they can manifest in different ways that makes you not feel so good. But check with your doctor, you know, if there's some reason that you're not feeling good, go rule out a physiological cause first, you know. If we lack sufficient meaning in our lives, you might have headaches, you might have asthma, you might have whatever, aches and pains, bodily aches and pains. That's something that can just happen, you know, to anybody at any age because of just the way it manifests. So the second point then, again, just to reiterate, is feeling good. You got to feel good. If you're not, figure that one out. Number three, believe in yourself and the value you offer. Now, just two or three or four weeks ago, we talked about value for value on this program. And we have to believe that we offer some value. There's no greater asset than self-belief. You got to believe in yourself. And if you don't believe in yourself and the value of what you're doing, then why should anyone else? And plus, it's a great demotivator. There's no substitute for self-belief. It's got tremendous power to propel us through the adversities of life. So, believe in yourself and the value that you offer. Great power resides in deliberately believing in yourself and the value you offer. This is how you overcome different avoidance behaviors that might also be a symptom of demotivation or a lack of motivation. So believe in yourself and the value you offer. And if you can't believe in that, find out why. You know, remember that question that we started with, prefacing these 8 points. You know, what would have to change in order for me to get motivated? Well, maybe start believing in yourself for a change, giving yourself a break for a change. Stop being so hard on yourself for a change.
Maybe you know, I might throw in here, if you're waiting for other people to believe in you, you might be waiting a long time.
Yeah.
You know, and that's, we go back to the them esteem, you know, needing other people's approval to feel good about yourself. But to believe in yourself and the value that you offer, this is a really big one, I think, for a lot of people, because they don't know what it is, who they are and what they are and what to believe in about the self. So it's waiting for somebody else to say, wow, you are a really good painter. You know, oh, maybe I can paint. You know, it's like, don't wait for somebody else's approval to think that you have something to offer. You know, I believe it was Van Gogh, in fact, while I'm talking about painting. He never sold a painting in his life. The only painting he did sell was to a good friend. It was like for half price.
Mm.
So you think about afterward, now he's worth, you know, he's not worth anything. Other people are. Mm. But he just believed in himself. And historically, we can name a lot of people, but if we don't research their life, we don't realize they did it out of the love of doing it and because they believed in what they were doing. And if you look around your own, you know, circle of influence, as we call it, then you'll probably see a lot of people who actually do their work because they believe in it. They're not making a lot of money, but they believe in it, mm-hmm. you know, and they believe in themselves, in their work. So don't look for other people's approval.
And it could be their path, and it is their path. So what's your path? What's your your purpose. You know, remember the difference between meaning and purpose. Meaning remains constant. Your purpose can change to support that meaning in different ways. The fourth point that we want to talk about of the eight is to the greatest extent possible, do not allow yourself to be encumbered by problems. You can say, well, that's easy enough said. You know, don't have problems. Okay, you'll be more motivated. All right? I'm not trying to be flippant here. I'm not trying to be have a blinding flash of the obvious. What I'm trying to say is that if you don't want problems in your life, you got to work to not have problems in your life. Remember, adversity, problems are a state of disorder. Something is not in its proper order or balance. When you put things back in their proper order, the problems go away. The adversity goes away. Think of a cluttered room. Everything's everywhere. It's a mess. There's lots of adversity, so to speak. There's lots of problems, so to speak. When you clean up that room and put everything back in its proper place, the room looks good. There's no restrictions. There's the adversity. The problems are gone.
And you might need a nap.
Yeah, that, which is good. All right.
A nap, and then you go again.
Yep. So try to work at not having problems that encumber you, that hold you back. And again, you know, folks, I believe that we can have a life that is not full of problems. You know, so many of us started out with problems in life. I mean, we were raised in problematic families. And it was all there was problems. Well, it gets to a point where you're tired of problems. And I believe that you don't have to have problems in your life. You don't have to have crappy relationships. You don't have to have a crappy job. You don't have to have crap. You just don't. But we sometimes get in that mode where we don't even think twice about it. We just accept and deal with crap all the time. Well, that's not a prerequisite for living.
Which actually brings us to number five beautifully.
Yes, your pain, your hunger. I'll explain. That's number five, your pain, your hunger. Pain can be a powerfully motivating or demotivating force. Some people get motivated from pain. You know, they lose something, the problems motivate them, they feel the pain from the problems that motivates them. Other people get demotivated by it. It can happen both ways. It just depends. You got to know yourself a little bit here. If you're unhappy about your situation, whether it's personal or financial, your inner pain can drive you to great accomplishments where little else can. You know, it takes a little bit of a dash of stubbornness, too. You know, well, I'm not going to let that beat me. And so you go out and you beat it. But on the other hand, go
sorry,
ahead.
Doug. A you little ahead. Overlap and delay there in my go blog ahead. Talk headphones. I'd like to clarify an issue about pain and how pain can be an addiction. I have to give credit where it's due. A woman who started the first shelter for battered women in 1972 in the United Kingdom, she wrote a book called Prone to Violence and made the distinction between what's a battered woman, who is somebody who finds themselves in a predicament and gets the hell out, or the woman who keeps going back for more. And people who, let's say, had been raised in painful environments, addictive, you know, kinds of environments, and who continue that in their adult life, and that's all they know is pain. She determined that it's not the pain that anybody really wants. She determined that it's the adrenaline that they want. It's the fix. So a woman actually, and it have to be specific to what she was talking about, a woman doesn't want to get hit. She wants the excitement and the adrenaline rush before getting hit, you see, which is a really important distinction to make. We have rampant in our society this adrenaline fix. You know, it's everything is fast and busy and hard and, you know, and painful. So pain becomes kind of normal. And peace then is painful, if that makes sense. So it's not that what people want pain. They want the adrenaline. And when you do go to peace to try to meditate or to be quiet, do yoga, it's too hard. Well, that's because peace is painful, which is a real irony, isn't it? It's like a real kind of twist in the whole plan. So it takes a while to gain pleasure where pleasure belongs, and understand our bodies, understand our minds and emotions, that it's the adrenaline that we need to slow down and, you know, make peace with it so that peace is no longer painful.
Good points. So pain can be a motivator. It can also be a demotivator. It just depends on who you are and how you're wired. I have found situations in my own life where the pain demotivated me. I just didn't want to do anything. And there are other times when the pain motivated me. And everybody's different. So channel your pain in the right direction. You know, one
which
way to...
Which is healthy pain, sorry.
Right.
Battered woman, yeah.
Right.
Gets in a situation and says, oh, this is painful, I'm out.
And if you think about pain, too, I mean, pain in the body is basically a warning system, right? It tells you there's something wrong at some part of your body when you have that pain. So listen to your pain. What's it telling you? What's it saying? What is it telling you you should do? Listen to your gut feeling, your own intuition about what it's trying to tell you. You know, and closely related to pain as a motivating force is hunger. It's not necessarily the physical kind, but a longing for something to be better in one's life. This inner hunger can motivate us to reach the stars and never give up, especially when it's born of high virtue. So maybe that's a motivator for you. It's like some people get motivated by giving themselves, promising themselves some kind of reward at the end. Other people might get motivated by just the challenge in and of itself. But some people, a reward will motivate them. Other people, it doesn't really motivate them. It just depends on who you are. There's a lot of individualism.
Something new excites me. I get motivated when it's something new, mm-hmm. something I hadn't, you know, encountered before, or something I haven't done before. You know, that's a motivator for me.
Mm-hmm. The sixth point that we want to talk about is believe that you'll gain benefits. You know, if you believe that you're in a dead end job, it's hard to stay motivated. Your motivation's going to die. So if you believe you're in a dead end job, to yourself, your employer, your customers, whatever, and get a different job. Do something that you really like. And don't make rash decisions here. Get something in place. Find something that you can be good at. You know, if you're not earning what you're worth, what you think you're worth, that can be a demotivator. There's an interesting study that they did in Michigan State University back sometime. I don't have the exact year right here. But they did this study. 97% of the faculty members and staff who bet $40 that they could stay with a six-month exercise program were successful. So they bet 40 bucks that they could stick with it and they would be successful for 6 months. 97% of them did this. That's pretty high. Only 19% of a non-betting group stayed with their six-month program. So
wow.
The people who bet $40 that they'd stick with it did. People who didn't make a bet didn't. There was nothing at risk. There was nothing to gain for these people. So
don't you think it's not just the $40 though? It's the competitiveness, the ego, all those things that go with it.
Psychological. There's something to gain. There's an investment. You know, they feel like there's something, pot of gold at the end of that rainbow, even if it's only $40. But there was something to work for. There was some reward, some benefit to it. And it's a psychological thing. So you got to feel like you're going to gain benefits to remain motivated. Remember the first law of human nature. People only do the things they see a benefit in doing. If you don't see a benefit in doing something, you're not going to do it. Now, that applies across the board. You may not want to clean up the kitchen, but you see some benefit in doing it, so you end up doing it. The things things that we do that we don't want to do, we do because there's some benefit involved, even though we may not want to do them or like doing them. There's still some benefit involved. The seventh point is to continue to gain knowledge and experience. If you're in a career that requires extensive product knowledge, the feeling that you're not really qualified or don't know enough can be a big demotivator. The obvious solution is to gain the knowledge you lack, and then you won't have that fear any longer, which leads us into number 8, lose the fear. Fear is one of the greatest disabling beliefs. And we've talked about fear in the last couple, 3 weeks on this program. Seldom do the fears we harbor within have anything to do with the greater reality. I think it was Mark Twain that said, I've known a great many troubles in my day, but none of them had ever happened. So, you know, he was worrying about things that, the what ifs, things never happen. You know, I think it was Zig Ziglar who coined the phrase FEAR, false evidence appearing real, the acronym FEAR, FEAR, false evidence appearing real. And that's exactly what most fears are. Most of our fears are irrational in nature. They're not real. But if we believe our fears are real, they can become a reality. You know, and herein's the problem. Our fears are usually nothing more than misguided and illusory beliefs, false evidence that disable us from doing what we know we should do. You know, by holding on to unreasonable fears, you disable yourself. One unknown author wrote, Remember, the more you know, the less you fear. And so what does that tell us? Knowledge cancels fear. I could say the less you fear, the more you're motivated. Knowledge cancels fear. So if you have some fear that's taking you down, that's sapping your motivation, gain the knowledge, because knowledge cancels fear. Just looking through my notes here.
You know, if I could say this, you know, we were talking a little bit earlier about fear of other people not accepting that we want to, you know, aspire to our dream, live the dream, and be different, and dare to follow one's own path. You know, it kind of all comes full circle. So if you're not living your dream, it's likely because there's fear attached, you know, and all the other points that go with it. So if I can just replay this, because how I see this circle, Doug, is live your dream, make sure, you know, you got to feel good, ask yourself, check in with yourself to say, okay, what am I not feeling good about? Getting some order back into feeling good and believe in myself and the value that I have to offer to what I'm dreaming. And don't get bogged down by a whole bunch of problems and address pain and what's my hunger and my drive and, you know, what I'd like to do. And believe that there's some benefit to it. And, of course, money's important, but how I'm feeling about that, because if I'm starting to live my dream and I can address some of these fears, what I'm seeing here is an evolution of the self, you know, and that benefits everybody else if I'm feeling good, you know, and I'll continue to grow and gain knowledge and gain experience, and then fear by fear by fear is kind of dissolved, kind of evaporates in a way. So then as I address this losing fear, I can go right back to the beginning again about living the dream. And so it's well, why wouldn't I live the dream? So if we see it as a spiral in a way, as I've got this visual in my mind, that as fears lighten up and they're not the same fear that I had last week isn't there this week, and I keep growing, then I am already living the dream, even though I think I'm projecting a dream, if that makes sense. Now I'm just living it. And I think that that's individual evolution to be who we're born to be and make the contribution to the collective. And, yeah, I know there's some very real stuff about, oh, geez, what would other people think, you know, that sense of belonging and so on. But if everybody was doing the same thing and living their dream, we wouldn't have that worry.
Mm-hmm.
So we're all supporting each other to live your dream.
Good points. All right, so let's reiterate these 8 points. And before we mention the 8 points, remember we mentioned that question, what would have to change in order for me to get motivated? That's a question that you need to ponder. Then we talked about living your dream, feeling good, believing in yourself and the value you offer to the greatest extent possible. Do not allow yourself to be encumbered by problems. We talked about your pain, your hunger. Either one of those can motivate you. Number 6 was believe you will gain benefits. 7, continue to gain knowledge and experience. And 8 is lose the fear. Remember, fear knowledge cancels fear. Now, let's take this to a different level. Let's suppose that you are living your dream, and you've been doing it for some time. Everything's going pretty good, but maybe you can get a little demotivated because you're bored, or because you just don't find the stimulation in what you once did. The key here, in my opinion, and it works for me, is to have distractions, things that you enjoy doing. You might be doing the work that you were meant to do, but there's more to one's life than that, too. I mean, you've got to be balanced. You've got to have different things that you do. Like me, I can't just do one thing. I have to be eclectic. I have to do lots of things, and I do lots of things. I have different projects. I have different distractions. I have different things that I do, and I enjoy those. It gets my mind off of things and allows me to be more creative, allows me to be better at what I do as far as my main dream goes, which is, of course, the society, formerly MCHS Church, and the schools, and teaching, and trying to leave the woodpile higher than I found it, and trying to help others to go out and have a positive impact on the world. That's what I do. It's who I am, what I do. So if you're doing what you think, you know, your dream, living your dream, great, good for you. But if you're starting to get demotivated, and Vicki mentioned earlier, burned out, be careful. Don't burn out. Find something else that you can channel that energy into as well.
You know, as I said earlier, sometimes, you know, somebody's worked a job for 20 years, whatever job that is, and they all started out loving it. Well, let's just say it's somebody who's a nurse. You know, you're mm-hmm. motivated to help other people. You're good at medicine, and you're nursing for 20 years. And aside from politics and aside from, you know, the stuff that goes with the job, it starts to wane a little bit. You just don't have the same love for it anymore, you know. I think that that's a perfectly natural state of affairs.
Yeah.
So, you know, because there has been a sustaining of one particular energy, and it has its ups and downs and arounds. Sometimes it's good just to take a break, or you can find those other skills and, you know, find out what we are good at to keep us distracted. And sometimes that'll only work for a little while. So maybe it's about changing it up. So mm-hmm. you can still be in the nursing profession, but maybe you want to move to a different department. Maybe yeah. you want to take a few courses. Maybe you want to, instead of working at the clinic, you want to go work at the hospital. Or instead of the hospital, you want to go, you know, work in a different kind of care facility. There's ways to change it up, but still be in your, you know, the profession that you love. Mm-hmm. And so I think that I just want to make it really clear that when we sustain a particular energy for any length of time, some is shorter and some is longer for other people, but that one sustaining of energy, it has to change. It will change. And it's going to change whether or not we're driving it, so it's better to be us driving it. And that just requires being self-aware. You know, it's like, Doug, you built this school, and all the energy that goes into it is very, very intense. Mm-hmm. The church, the school, the projects. And then it gets into a flow. And then you start saying, okay, what's next? And you're really good at knowing yourself to say, I know me. The school is doing okay. This is doing okay. How can we tweak it up? How can we make it better? You're good at the analysis. And then you're good at, oh, now I have more information to go build this. And each is a step, but you are evolving as well as your project's evolving.
Mm-hmm.
That's a self-awareness that you have. And this is why I'm just adding it in. If other people could benefit from knowing that, maybe your sustaining of energy is 5 years, where somebody else's is, you know, I can only sustain that energy output for 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
Or somebody else's is 30 years, and then they have to go golfing. You know, everybody has their own level. But I deal with burnout with a lot of my clients, and I cannot stress enough, burnout is so common that demotivation that can be paralyzing in people's lives, and it affects relationships, families, friendships, it affects everything. And sometimes it really is just checking in with yourself, getting that order back, and finding those ways to remotivate. And it's not rocket science. It's actually a lot easier. You just have to find the start point. And the start point is you. What do I love? And what's the first step? So that takes me to my next point, is not just trade-offs. Don't just do trade-offs, do trade-ups.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so instead of doing this, I can do that, and I can trade it up. You know, we start to create a new energy. But now you're the manager, you're the director of that new energy. It works.
Good points. And one of those points that you made about doing something different with the job that you have, that might be a good re-motivator for some people in different professions. I did that myself. You know, you start out in a profession in one department, you move into another one because you've outgrown that, or you need a new challenge. Those are good things. So we talked about regaining motivation. Remember, people want to do the things they see a benefit in doing, so you got to find some benefit to doing what you want to do. Next week when we come back, we'll do a part two on this, and we'll talk about gaining momentum and some of the things that can hold you back in terms of momentum, how to understand it a little bit better, and
which we kind of touched on just now.
We did.
We'll carry on for the next show.
Yeah, we'll focus more on that on our next show. We appreciate you taking your time out to listen to this program, whether it's live or archived. We really do appreciate your time. Please visit us at the International Society of Metaphysical Humanism. The new web address is metaphysicalhumanism.org. And if you like what you read and you're not a member, why not just register to be a member? Got a lot of stuff going on there. If you're interested in metaphysics degrees or certifications, you can find those at metaphysicsinstitute.org and ichsworld.org. Thanks to Michael Kelly for looking over the phones for us and helping us behind the scenes. Look forward to seeing everybody next week. And until then, remember, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night.